Welcome to Investor Resources with your hosts, Don Creech and Perry Sykes, who both realize that the market doesn't know what keeps you up at night. It doesn't know when you want to retire, and it doesn't know how old you are. The simple truth is, the market doesn't care. But if you care, then you've tuned in at the perfect time. You're listening to Investor Resources, bringing clarity to the confusing world of finance. Here are your hosts of Investor Resources, Don Creech and Perry Sykes.
Well, good morning. This is Don Creech.
And this is Perry Sykes. Welcome to the show, everyone.
Welcome to Investor Resources live radio program. If you have questions about your portfolio, you can give us a call. You got something that you were thinking of buying or thinking of selling, and you want a second opinion, we can probably generate one for you. All you have to do is pick up the phone and dial the magic number for access, 800-465-8770, 800-465-8770. You want to be sure you take advantage of that number. This is our last broadcast. We've been on the air 14 years, and this is our wrap. We have decided to focus on podcasting. And if you are not currently on our Week in Review email list and you want to be notified of where to find our podcast, you need to sign up for that, because all those who are on the Week in Review that get that every typically Monday, holidays accepted, you're going to be notified automatically where to find us. We are still going to do our first Saturday of the month webinars. We just did one today. And if you weren't on it and would like to get a replay link of it about what's going on in the market currently, send us an email, help@iriradio.com. Put Week in Review in the subject line. We need your first and last name in the body of the email, and we will add you to the list. And when our podcasts go live, you will get an automatic notice and a link to join us. And hopefully we'll then subscribe to what will be regular updates as we're looking at the market. We did a wrap of where we are in today's market, and part of that issue we're going to discuss today is whether or not the new bull market has begun because of Thursday and Friday's close in the NASDAQ 100. You want the details of that. You really need to watch the replay of today's webinar, because we did a drill down into what we would say makes the support of the new bull market underway a little bit more doubtful than financial media was hyping it on Thursday and Friday.
Hyping? Do they do that, Don? Is that create hype? that's a good thing to know. It's a good thing to know that all things might not be as they seem. And we took a pretty good look at things a little further below the surface that you can look out for.
So, if again, that email address, to be sure you're on the notification for our startup of our podcast, is iriradio.com, help@iriradio.com. And we'll put you on the Week in Review. We need your first and last name in order to put you on Constant Contact. But if you just joined us, this is Investor Resources live radio program, but it's the final program of 14 years of broadcasting. And we're going to go to podcast, which for a variety of reasons. But be that as it may, one of the things that happens with investors is that particularly in a period of correction, consolidation, the rule of thumb is a bear market is only when the market goes down more than 20%. But it's right. A rule of thumb. There's no statistical verification that that's the case. Really, a bear market and a bull market are dependent upon long-term trends staying in place. So as we illustrated in today's webinar, markets move sideways through periods of correction or consolidation, and those can take years to unwind. And then you get kind of like a rocket booster, and it jumps up, and then the booster fails and is kicked off. I'm thinking of a rocket to the moon. When we used to watch those things on TV, you know, stage one, we'd go, it would go up and get out of the atmosphere, and then it would be cut off, and it would be floating around in space until gravity pulls it back in, hopefully lands in the ocean. And the stock market is kind of the same way. It has these different booster levels that move it up to a new orbit, and it just moves sideways, and it goes up and down, and you get frustrated. Finally, you just quit watching it until one day disaster happens, and all of a sudden it's down. And then investors, typically, when that lasts long enough, get frustrated and they bail. I say, I can't take this anymore. And Perry, you and I have been through this with investors over the years.
Absolutely. People get to just a psychological level where it's like, you know, there's really no reason for what I'm about to do, but I just got to go. I can't stand this anymore. I have to leave. And then once that happens, it is very difficult to drag that person kicking and screaming back into the market. And it can really end up costing you a lot, especially in longer term returns. That short term perceived security, which all it really is you taking yourself out of the game. It doesn't gain you much, and it doesn't gain much in the way of security even, because when the market takes off again, you're not going to be there. You're not going to be ready to take advantage of it. We have no problem going to cash. We just only go to cash with the outlook that we know we're going to get back in as soon as we see someplace to do it. And that's the part that gets lost if you're acting out of fear, and that's always dangerous.
So if you just joined us, this is Investor Resources live radio program, and it's our final one of 14 years of being on the air, various stations. We are going to podcasting, and if you want to be notified of where we're going to do that, you need to be on our email distribution list for our weekly weekend review. If you're not there, send us an email, help@iriradio.com. Put weekend review or podcast in the subject line. We need your first and last name to put you in constant contact. We use constant contact because if you are one of the few exceptions who decide they don't want to hear from us anymore, it's a one-click unsubscribe. It's clean for you.
Which makes us go away. Yeah, we're gone.
It makes us go away forever. I mean, we can't reactivate it at all.
You can, we can't, so yeah.
That's how we maintain contact with you. If you want to maintain contact with us, send us an email, help@iriradio.com. We can review or podcast in the subject line, first and last name in the body of the email. We will notify you when those podcasts go live. Now, so we turn around and take a look at today's market, which is in correction mode. We never got below that rule of thumb 20% level, partly because there's been a major change in what the dark pools and the buy-side institutions do in this kind of market to prevent panic among retail investors and 401k investors. We went into that detail in today's webinar. If you didn't participate in that, would like a replay link, send us an email, help@iriradio.com. Tell us what you want, first and last name in the body of the email. We'll be glad to get you the replay link. But this decline in the market, we had a new high back in January 3 of 22. So we're 453 days of not having a new high. And particularly for investors who began their investing career in the aftermath of the COVID collapse, this seems like eternity.
It's way too long. And there's a lot of people like that. There's a lot of people that's when they got drawn into the market, and they're not quite sure what's going on right now, even though there's not really anything abnormal going on. It's just something they haven't seen yet, and that makes it feel very strange to them.
So there are a lot of bear markets that have lasted much longer. Tech bubble comes to mind. That one lasted almost a little over 13 years before it hit a new high. And it was also something we pointed out in today's webinar, that the hype about the NASDAQ being up 20% from the December lows represents a new bull market. As CNBC and Fox Business reported on various programs, We pointed out that the almost 3 year long bear market after the tech bubble, during the tech bubble collapse, there were five instances where the market rallied 20% or more and the decline continued and continued.
That 20% increase, even though, you know, it's significant, there's a 20% gain from any given level, they don't sustain themselves. There's not enough to keep them going to a new high, so they roll over and more selling ensues. So it's very important to watch, even when you're in one of those upturns, when the market's heading up, it's very important to watch what else is going on in the market, and does this look like we're going to head to new highs, or is this probably just going to roll over? And, you know, there's no way to know for sure, but you need to be prepared to say, whoops, this one's not heading for new highs. Maybe it's better to wait this out a little longer until we get something more sustainable.
So there will be a day to come back in, but we're 453 days since the last new high. In 2000, the tech bubble went 2,623 days. So we're not even 25% of the way through that period.
Yeah, that's a long time.
And the 07, 08, and 09 market drop, which was down almost 57%, that didn't recover to new highs for almost 2,000 days. And so we're about 25% through that phase. And most investors today weren't in the market back in 73 or 68, but those in 68 took almost 1,200 days to reach a new high. 73 took 2,744 days to reach a new high. So if you think 450 is causing some impatience on your part, need to reframe this issue and realize this is part of normal market adjustment. And we need to take a break.
We do. We're at our first break here. I'd like to remind everyone that we do have our next market update on the calendar, and you can still register for those market updates by going to IRIRadio.com. That is IRIRadio.com. The monthly webinars are going to continue, and you can register for those at the website. You'll also have, of course, podcast updates on the website also. You can look there, and we'll keep the website updated so you'll know what's going on with us. We just will not have the pleasure of announcing those on KTTH any longer after today. So again, you can go to IRIRadio.com, click that registration link, and you'll be all set up for next month. If you'd like to talk to us here this morning, feel free to give us a call. We'd love to talk to you about all things investing and financial. 800-465-8770. It's 800-465-8770. Stay with us. We will be right back.
Live and local, you're listening to Investor Resources. This is your opportunity to call in and have your questions answered. The lines are open at 1-800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770, or email your question to help at irirradio.com. Don and Perry will be right back.
Inflation is pushing its way toward 10%. I'm Don Creech, along with Perry Sykes. We host Investor Resources every Saturday morning. The Fed is no longer in the Alfred E. Newman "What Me Worry" camp. The Fed does not know how long current inflation will last or how many more times they will hike interest rates. Professionals are analyzing the new Federal Reserve plan for rate hikes, which are especially damaging to bond portfolios. Owning bonds is no longer a plan to protect capital. Have you adapted to a bond bear market and a bear market in stocks? Just what is your plan? Buy and hold isn't a plan. Adding bonds because you're older isn't a plan. Real risk exposure isn't a result of your age. It is a function of market conditions. Have you adapted yet? Get a free portfolio analysis. Email us at help@irirradio.com or call us at 800-317-9119. Be sure to register for our next stock market update at irirradio.com. That's IRIRadio.com.
Darling, you got to let me know. Should I stay or should I go? If you say that you are mine, I'll be here till the end of time.
Well, should we stay or should we go? That decision is one which we have debated and struggled with, but we're not here until the end of time. This is our final radio broadcast after 14 years of being on the air on various stations. And if you want to stay in touch with us, we're just simply moving our marketing focus to podcasting, which is where the industry seems to be getting its response. So if you're not on our regular Week in Review distribution list, which you would know because you're getting the Week in Review email every week, you can add your name to that by sending us an email, help@iriradio.com. Put Week in Review or podcast in the subject line. We need your first and last name in the body of the email. We will set you up. And as we release our first podcast and our series of them, we will keep you informed and you will be able to stay informed with our perspective. We do expect to maintain our first Saturday of the month webinars. If you weren't on that today, we delved deeply into some of the conflicting conditions of the market. You can get a replay link with the same process. Send us an email, help@iriradio.com. Replay in the subject line, first and last name in the body of the email, and we will send you a replay link, and you can watch what we covered with regard to markets as they currently stand, and what we believe to be an overexcited response to the NASDAQ getting above the triple Q, getting above the $312 level. There are certainly some cautions that you should be aware of, and we go into those in some length on today's webinar. We do have Kent on the line. From Kent, you are on the air. Kent, thanks for calling in.
Good morning, gentlemen. First of all, my wife had suggested, we were listening to the program earlier, and she just said, I wonder if this is an April Fool's joke that they're leaving the radio. She and I have been with you, I believe, for all 14 years, and we have benefited so much from listening to your guidance, and we really appreciate all you do. We most certainly will be a guest on your podcast for sure.
Well, let me assure you that we hadn't put together that this was April Fool's Day.
You give us way too much credit there, Kent. Yeah.
Well, your wife
anyway, way
of
ahead of us, your wife is. So.
Oh, she is. Well, me too.
There you go.
Anyway, you know, maybe my question to your call screener was a little bit confusing, but I think I'm trying to think about the impact of the 11 sectors of the S&P 500 relative to the business cycle. I know you guys are very much in the interpretation business. If you look historically, this is a thing that I've been thinking about, is that if you go into a recessionary area, of course that's debatable, but I think we have to get there one of these months, years, whatever, that certain sectors perform better. And I read somewhere where perhaps utilities, healthcare, consumer staples, that those sectors in a recessionary environment seem to do better than others. Now, from your perspective, is there any rhyme or reason to that logic, trying to equate ETF sector performance to business cycles?
Oh, that's smart. I mean, basically, you mentioned the dividend payers, which include financials normally, and healthcare and consumer staples, and usually real estate, are in that category where the dividend payments are viewed as a buffer against market decline. So for investors who, particularly for portfolios that are a 60-40 portfolio, they'll overweight those sectors without regard to the decline in the actual value, assuming that those dividends will soften the decline. Unfortunately, I think we're already in the recession. It's just that it takes a while. The data is a lagging data, so it's not officially announced, usually until the recession is over. But the defensive sectors have been whipsawing back and forth. So utilities is one which I look at regularly. I look at it every day, but I do a weekend summary on its trend. And it looks like it's responding to consumer fear and rising, and then it collapses. So is it a good indicator? Well, yes or no. I think in the long term it still is. Is real estate? Well, real estate dividends haven't been cut yet, but there are huge problems that have not been unwound or recognized in the commercial real estate and office building environments. Home builders, it's a little different situation because there's not a lot of second-use homes on the market, because those people, if they sold, would typically, if they need a mortgage, would be doubling their mortgage cost from 3.5% to almost 7%. So they're off the market. New builders are trying to maintain low enough pricing to attract first-time buyers. With mortgage rates ticking up, those buyers go away saying, I'll wait for them to come back down. Some signs that the Fed may have to lower rates on their end, which would bring mortgage rates down. So that area could open up. But when you look at the commercial office space, entertainment, hotels and stuff, those are on rolling relatively short-term loans. They may be 10 or 15 years, but they balloon. They're going to be ballooning with interest rates that are substantially higher. We've already reported over this last year several major syndicators who have just simply said, we can't pay the balloon payment. We're going to let the bank have it. The properties, major properties, go to auction. And even then, they sell for less than the outstanding mortgage balance. And those losses, I think, are just beginning the process of being recognized over the next year or two. So I think the real estate, which is often defensive, has much more downside, particularly as their distributions get cut. Healthcare is probably one which has suffered on a market value, but it is more stable because it is largely becoming government run, other than pharmaceuticals. But you look at how do we deliver health care today. President Johnson introduced Medicare, and it was basically a long-term view of we can control the economy if we can control medical care. And Obama expanded that to put virtually everybody in the system, and the current administration wants to expand it more. So whether or not that remains a viable indicator of a recession, the stocks still trade. So the answer is yes. But it, again, has not shown the defensive characteristics that you would expect in a recessionary cycle. Utilities did show some life this last week and looks like they could be breaking out of the downward trend. But it would be too early. What is happening right now that isn't typical of a recession would be technology, but it's mega tech. Were you on our webinar today?
Yes, we were. Yes.
Okay, so you saw me explain what's happening with mega tech on there. And for those of you who weren't on there, you can get a link to today's webinar by sending us an email, help@iriradio.com. Webinar, podcast, in the subject line, your first and last name and body of the email, we'll send you a link. So right now, what's happening as far as leadership is concerned, it seems to be non-cyclical, and that's mega cap, but not mega growth. Communications, which would be your social media companies and your telecom companies, which have been in a disastrous bear market since the peak back in 21, and they finally are recovering. So I think this is bargain basement. Let's acquire these things because they're just so outrageously cheap on a value basis. And both our global and our dynamic portfolio have some exposure to that. And then the other one is just basically the S&P 500. because it's not doing that badly. It is showing some signs of recovery, but most of that is associated with its exposure to the mega cap stocks that dominate the NASDAQ. If you took those out, then the S&P 500 isn't going anywhere. But your assumption
equal weighted index chart was really good.
Thank you.
Yep, that was. And when you're using the business cycle to try to identify a sector, whether it's in or out of favor, it's really important, like everything else we do, to look at the trend it's in currently, because they're not in lockstep, and they don't always. I mean, here we are. We're thinking heading into a recession, and utilities are near the bottom of the list, which is in not what you would think intuitively, but you just got to check the data. Follow the numbers, follow the returns, and invest that way. Don't ever invest blindly. Well, we're heading into a recession, then all of these classically defensive sectors, they are going to be performing well. Not necessarily true. You still have to track the data and see what's going on currently, and then follow that. That's much more important than what has done well in the past in a similar economic environment.
I think it speaks for the word dynamic. You have to be dynamic, as your portfolio name is. Yeah,
you have no other option. That's correct.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, hey, as always, appreciate your program so much, and my wife and I will certainly be with you on the podcast. And it's been a great 14 years. We've really, again, learned so much from you, and I appreciate everything you two have done. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kent. We appreciate the accolades.
Okay,
we should probably take a break.
We are right here at the bottom of the hour. Might as well get it in right now. I'd like to remind everyone that we do have a weekly email newsletter. Keep you up to date on where those podcasts are going to show up. If you'd like to begin receiving that, you need to send us an email. Send that to help@irradio.com. That's help@irradio.com. We just need your first and last name and the body of the email, and put "We Can Review" in the subject line. You're going to start receiving that this Monday, and it'll keep you updated on everything we're doing. It's also a great look at the financial news of the week. There is so much information out there that just pours in all the time. This email newsletter is a really good filter on what's important and what you can probably safely ignore. Even though you may be hearing about it every day, it might not just be that important. So again, you can sign up for that by sending an email to help@irradio.com. If you'd like to talk to us here this morning, we'd love to talk to you. Give us a call at 800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Investor Resources. Check out our website at irradio.com and log on for a free report. That's IRIRadio.com. Don and Perry are waiting to answer your questions now at 1-800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770.
Investors are ignoring inflation and the changing economy. I'm Perry Sykes, and along with Don Creech, we host Investor Resources. Investors ignore warnings that lack immediate consequences. It's like running red lights without an accident. Soon, you think you're good at running red lights, but eventually, your luck runs out. Unfortunately, by the time most investors figure it out, it's generally far too late to do anything meaningful about it. Get a free portfolio analysis. Email us at help@irradio.com or call us at 800-317-9119. That's 800-317-9119. Register for our monthly stock market update at irradio.com. Be prepared. Again, register for our monthly stock market update at irradio.com.
Woo! Darling, you got to let me know. Should I stay or should I go? If you say that you are mine, I'll be here till the end of time. So
well, one of the announcements we're making today is we will not be here until the end of time. We've been on the radio and various stations now for 14 years, but this is our last radio broadcast. If you want to talk to us today, the number is 800-465-8770, 800-465-8770. For now, this is still the Investor Resources live radio program. And it's live because the phone lines are open at 800-465-8770. But we have made a major marketing decision to move our information to podcast format. And if you would like to stay in touch with us and to know what we view as going on in the market in smaller clips, these won't be hour long. They'll typically be 10, 15 minutes, but be more frequent during the week. Send us an email at help@irradio.com. help@irradio.com. Put Week in Review in the subject line or podcast in the subject line or replay link in the subject line. Give us your first and last name in the body of the email, and you'll get a replay of today's webinar, which we hope put in perspective the hype about the NASDAQ being up 20% from the December low. We point out that that isn't the end of a bear market or the end of a protracted consolidation period, which we explain with some detail, hopefully giving you clarity. So if you didn't participate today in the morning's webinar, we're going to do another one first Saturday of the month. That's our plan. That's not going away. But the regular updates are going to be on podcast format. If you want to get that information, send us an email, help@irradio.com. Be sure your first and last name are in the body of the email. Books on financial investing are... I don't know how to count them. And they've been around for a long time. One of the books which I've read a number of times is Reminiscences of a Stock Operator. That's about Livermore and his investing experience, Jesse Livermore, early part of the last century. But there was another book published in 1912, which was called Psychology of the Stock Market. So this is back in the same era as Livermore. Well, actually, it's a little earlier. He was more known in the 20s. But this book was written by George Charles Selden. And
you remember him.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Part of the family tree, I'm sure, if we just dig down enough. But what was interesting here is that human psychology, as you were taught in college, doesn't really change. We're humans after all, though some would argue. But one of his comments is the market is always a contest between investors and speculators. And he argued that there are two types of market participants. Investors who are focused on the fundamental attributes of a security or asset, and we have those today. We typically call them value investors, like
That's
Warren Buffett.
Crowd. Sure.
Yeah. And he classifies everybody else as speculators. They didn't really have buy and hold, I guess. He defines speculators as anybody who's paying attention to the trend of price. And today, that's been identified as momentum. A momentum wasn't really identified back that part of the century, primarily because it was still deeply manipulated by the Rockefellers and his ilk. We have a call from Mark in Waco. Mark, you're on the air here in Puget Sound.
Hey, guys. Don and Perry. Glad to be able to call into the show today. I was really hoping, you know, you have some very smart callers, and I was hoping the previous caller was correct, that this was some type of elaborate April Fool's joke.
Unfortunately, it is not. It's the absolute truth.
I don't know what I'm going to do with my Saturday mornings. This is a regular routine to be able to listen into the show, even though I'm a few miles away. I like to call to listen in and see what you all are talking about. But I did have a question. You kind of touched on this briefly with the previous caller, and that's really, you know, I was looking at my holdings on Friday, and everything's up, and I said, well, gosh, I must have the small cap things that were out there were probably end of the month up pretty well. And I looked, and no, it's not the case. We've had a little bit of a run up in the last week, but can you all talk about that lack of breadth in the market and kind of how that relates to an overall trend in the market versus just those mega caps?
Well, one of the things that happens at the end of the quarter is that the large buyers, which are typically mutual fund, dark pools, that which is mutual fund managers and pension plans, they have to do a quarter-end report, and particularly mutual funds, which only let you know what they own one day a year, four times. That's the last day of each quarter. They want to be sure that their portfolio holdings are going to be viewed acceptably by their participants. So if they haven't owned a lot of the stuff that's doing well in the last week or two, they pile into it. And that may be the reason that right now we don't have an S&P 500. We have an S&P 6 stock index, because six stocks are driving that index. And that means the other 44 stocks are kind of languishing. They aren't attracting investors in any large quantity. Most of them are just kind of going sideways. Now, part of what's happening right now is we have in the market what we call base building. The individual stocks have been at lows, and they attract some buyers. If profits look like they're improving, they get some money coming in. The stock goes up a little bit, but they're bouncing around a bottom, a bottom rail, if you will. And it's kind of like billiards. They're in a confined space. They're from one side of the board to the other and back. And that gets frustrating. And every now and then there's enough momentum that they pop over the side and as a billiard ball maybe land on the next guy's table. And now
and
they
that's
can
when the
trade
fight breaks out. that's never a good thing. And it's so hard to remember when the market gets this narrow, it does increase the risk in the market. If the S&P 500 really doesn't reflect what's going on, and it really is the big six holdings at the top, the S&P 500 still gets reported as the S&P 500, but it's only those six that are actually making anything happen. So you're in a much more concentrated investment format than it feels like, because that broader market's really not helping you out at all. So it can also, when it can turn much quicker, because it's not waiting for 500 stocks to make a move. It's just those six. So it can really increase the risk in what you're looking at. It's just important to recognize that.
So given that we're at the end of the quarter, probably just wait a few days to see if it really does, the trend holds true.
Correct.
Not a bad outlook. Absolutely.
I think I mentioned in speaking with Kent in the prior segment and certainly on the webinar today that for the triple Q, 312 is pretty critical support level, and it gets above there. It really needs to show that it can stay above there for this hyped up 20% rally to be valid. And the S&P is responding to those few stocks that are driving the NASDAQ, because S&P committee got tired of being a laggard index and not current with social acceptability. So they changed the structure of the index. The only index that really hasn't changed a great deal as far as technology is concerned is the Dow. And the Dow isn't industrials anymore, because industrials don't drive our economy, but they don't have the concentration of technology that is showing up on the high end, the large end of the S&P 500. So the small caps were leaders and doing better than large caps for an extended period of time, but that has changed this year, and the large caps have been doing better on a relative basis. Doesn't mean you're making money with everything, but relatively speaking, large cap shift to large cap, I think, is a response to fears of a recession, because they will typically have the finances to handle downturn in sales, loss of profit for a longer period of time than small companies. And particularly small companies are dependent upon regional banks. And the regional banks, if they haven't been well hedged on the interest rate side that caused problems with Silicon Valley and Signature, they are going to tighten their lending standards, and small business that needs money is going to find it more difficult to come by. And so we'll see business closures over the next year as that problem eventually heals itself. But I'd be patient. It's important okay. not to be overly excited about a day or two strong rally. Because you're right, you mentioned market breadth. That's the number of stocks that are going up versus the number of stocks that are going down. And that market breadth is still weak at this point in time. But
well,
thanks
Perry,
for your call, Mark.
I've enjoyed listening to you all over the years, and thank you for putting in 14 years helping people understand their investments in the market.
Thank you, Mark. Well, that opens up a phone line, 800-465-8770. And if you just joined us, this is Investor Resources Live radio program, and it is our final live radio program. We are going off the air after 14 years, as Mark said, and we are going to a podcast format. If you receive our weekend review on a regular basis, which goes out regularly, normally on Mondays, holidays excepted, then you're going to be notified of where our podcasts are. If you aren't getting that, you want a replay of today's webinar, send us an email, help@iriradio.com. Put replay, podcast, or week in review in the subject line, first and last name in the body of the email, and you will be notified as we make this major shift in our market exposure. Anyway, we have an open phone line right now, 800-465-8770. So before Mark called, we were just starting to look at some of the similarities between the psychology of the stock market written in 1912 and today's market price or market action behavior, perhaps, is a better term. So one of the comments that Mr. Selden made in his book was that market's always a contest between investors and speculators. And we've changed the definition of speculators over 100 years. But basically, the speculator cares nothing about interest return. He would just as soon buy at the top of a big rise as at any other time. And that seems like an oxymoron. Don't you want to buy low and sell high? But actually, stocks that are moving up and hit a new high have a tendency to go higher. So a speculator isn't a cheap buyer. They're a momentum buyer. They're looking for things that are attracting investors' attention and money. That can continue beyond your reasonable expectations. That is why, if you're in the market, you should have some stop losses. Doesn't mean that you will never have a loss, but it means you do take active action to put a stop to it and wait for confirmation of an uptrend again.
When the market's moving against you, we think it's prudent to say, okay, that's not working. Let's stop doing that. You know, if something's doing well, you want to keep doing more. But if it's not, you want to stop doing that for the time being. And it's never permanent. It's Kent was asking about the sector rotation. Sectors go into favor and out of favor. So it's not like you're writing them off forever. It's just right now that's not working. So I'm not going to do it. And that can save you a lot of capital going forward. Keep your powder dry, if you will, and you're ready to get back in the market when you find that strength and you can rotate back in. We are up against our last break of the morning here. I'd like to remind you that we do have our next market update on the calendar. That's for Saturday, May 6th. The start time will be 9 o'clock. And you can register for that by going to iriradio.com. That is iriradio.com. Just head to the webinar page and give that registration link a click. And on May 6th, you will be live online with us, as usual, at 9 a.m. now, though. And we will be going through what's going on currently in the market. And we go through the economy, the market. We go through what we're doing with investor portfolios. And we always have plenty of time for your questions. So, again, if you'd like to register for that, go to iriradio.com. There's also always going to be updated podcast information there when we are get our digital broadcast going. That's a good place to check in, iriradio.com. PerrySykes.com. We have plenty of time to talk to you this morning. Got a full segment left. If you'd like to give us a call, we'd love to talk to you at 800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770. Stay with us. We will be right back.
This is Investor Resources, the program that sheds new light on your investment strategies. The lines are open at 1-800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770. Or email your question to help at irradio.com. That's help at irradio.com. Don and Perry will be right back.
Warren Buffett's rule one is don't lose money. Rule two is remember rule one. I'm Don Creech. Along with Perry Sykes, we host Investor Resources. No professional or successful investor ever bought and held for the long term without regard or respect for the risk undertaken. Groceries and gasoline are more expensive, crimping consumer spending, the lifeblood of our economy and the stock market. As the economy slows, portfolio risk increases. A balanced portfolio is not a plan to protect capital. Rebalancing isn't a plan to protect capital. Buy and hold isn't a plan to protect capital. After you have losses, it's too late to do anything meaningful about it. Get a free portfolio analysis. Email us at help at irradio.com or call us at 800-317-9119. Be sure to register for our next stock market update at irradio.com. That's irradio.com.
Darling, you got to let me know. Should I stay or should I go? If you say that you are mine, I'll be here till the end of time.
Well, you're listening to the live Investor Resources radio program, and we will not be here till the end of time. First of all, we have the top of the hour rapidly approaching, which will be the conclusion of 14 years of being on the air. We are moving our marketing to a podcast format. If you would like to have us stay in touch with you or you and with us, send us an email. Help at irradio.com. When the podcasts go live, we will make a distribution of that email list, which is really quite large. Anybody in our industry who finds out how large our distribution list is are quite amazed. But that's because of the loyalty of many of you listeners out there who have requested the Week in Review, which will continue. Absolutely. Or joined our webinars on the first Saturday of the month, which we also plan on continuing. You can register for that now on our website, irradio.com. If you missed today's webinar and want a replay link and you're not on our email list, send us an email, help at irradio.com. Put podcast or replay in the subject line. We need your first and last name in the body of the email so we can put you in constant contact, which makes it easy for one click unsubscribe if you decide that what we have to say isn't your cup of tea. One thing that wasn't a cup of tea for many tech Silicon Valley investors was the financial condition of Silicon Valley Bank a couple of weeks ago, and two major depositors looking at the bank decided on their own they weren't going to leave their money there. So collectively, they drew out about $5 billion. It's kind of like, you know, you and I'd write a check to close our account.
Sure.
Right.
Kind of like that. Yeah.
And once they had their money safely deposited elsewhere, then they did social media to brag about it and let their other friends in the Silicon Valley tech arena know how smart and defensive they were. They basically created the bank run. Unlike if you decided to close your account at Chase or Citi or U.S. Bank, I mean, you get online on social media and announce it, right? And create a bank run just to get even with them.
Not likely. No, but that is one of the risks that were in SVB that weren't widely recognized, where these people all worked together, they knew each other, they were all on social media together. So once that started spreading, it was really the first digital run on a bank. It was all online, the news spread online, and people could act instantly. Nobody had to go get in line at the bank. They saw it on social media, they went straight to their computer or just their phone and started moving their assets. And that's why so much money left right away that first day. And it was way too fast for them to make any sort of correction. They actually tried a little bit, but they really blew that too. So actually when they started talking, it got worse instead of better. And so they were done in a day. And that's never happened before, but that's what social media and doing business digitally can do to a business if everything's moving in one direction and that happens to be out of your company.
So I would bet if we did a survey and asked them, this group of people, are you an independent thinker? They probably all would say, well, absolutely. That's why I do yes. venture capital and startups and stuff. But when it came to the money, they were all lemmings. They all ran off the cliff at the same time.
We all think independently together. Yeah. So they all move same thing, same direction, and all for the same reason. It was just a regular bank run. It was just the regular, hey, you know what? I don't think they're doing too well. I took my money out. You should too. And it just cascaded on itself.
And the major beneficiary, it's no real surprise, was right. Jamie Dimon at J.P. Morgan and Chase.
That's where the money went.
And the banking issue spread. Many people said, well, if that bank's bad, I don't know about my bank. And so they started moving money. And J.P. Morgan was the major collector of fear.
They are so. They're so big. They're you know, part of that too big to fail group. Silicon Valley Bank was actually too big to fail. The Fed moved right in to make sure they didn't quote fail. They had to close. They got repurchased the remaining assets, but no one lost any money there. And some people just said, well, I got to get out of regional banks. I'm moving to a huge national bank. I want my bank to be giant. And so that's where the money went, which is a vote of confidence for the banking sector at large. They didn't take their money and go home. They took their money and went to a different bank. So it's still in the banking sector. It's still in a U.S. bank, just not the ones they were in.
So one of the differences that happened from venture capital firms, which did a lot of business with Silicon Valley Bank, prior to this debacle, 42% of the startups had two bank accounts before the failure. Now 71% of them have their bank, their cash right. diversified between multiple banks.
We need a couple of spots now, not just one. That's right.
Yeah.
Which is so probably smart anyway. It makes them stronger too. So it, again, not a bad move, but it was the Silicon Valley Bank failure that made it happen.
So that begged the question, is my money safe? And the answer is yes. And it was with a little bit of trepidation that Secretary Yellen, grilled both by the Senate Banking Finance Committee and later by the House Finance Committee, whipsawed back and forth, trying to justify why they bailed out a bank in Silicon Valley where the Democrat Party has a substantial donor base. Guess how many tech how many tech CEOs vote Republican? Yeah, I don't know that number's even known. There might be one or two. There are actually a couple, but they are, like in Hollywood, they're rare and hard to find. So there was a political overtone. Did you do this because you're bailing out your deposit, your contributors? Well, no, of course not. We wouldn't do that. No, we'd never consider anything that would be that biased. Well, then are you going, if that bank was in Ohio, would you have bailed it out? Well, probably not. Well, then what happens when the next bank fails? Are you going to bail it? Well, we have to decide if they vote Democrat or not. Oh, I'm sorry. I wasn't supposed to say that. Anyway, over several days, she did whipsaw between, yes, we will. No, we won't. Yes, we will. Not with think about it. Okay. I guess we will bail them out no matter where they are.
Yeah.
So it has been a It's been a pathetic show of competence. Maybe it's been a
accurate. Sure.
Yeah. And there's weakness at the administrative level about how to deal with stuff. The Fed created the banking problem. Congress and the administration created the inflation problem. And nobody knows what to do about it that has power to do something to solve the problem. So the market gets some inspiration segmentally. In minor sectors, and we see some activity, but it doesn't last. We are in a trending market that has an upper and lower band on it. It's called a trading range, and we're waiting for some sort of catalyst that's going to bust out. Now, it looks like the banking problem is not going to bust out the bottom, so that issue should resolve fairly quickly. However, if we go back and look at the 07, 08, and 09 bear market, it looked like when Bear Stearns collapsed that solved the issue. And then months later, Lehman came along, and then the market really rolled over. So we don't know yet, certainly given the uncertainties that the administration has expressed, whether or not there's something else out there that could cause the bottom to drop out and find a new low. At the present time, we think the odds of that are not real big. But we still aren't busting out of the upper limits. This is our final broadcast. You want to stay in touch with us, you need to be in our email list. Send us an email, help@iriradio.com. Put anything in the subject line that you indicate you're interested, and we will put you on. We need to have your first and last name in the body of the email. We appreciate your loyalty, your interest, and your participation in our webinars. Our phone number is 800-317-9119. We're open all week. Have a great weekend, and God bless you, your family, United States of America.